Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. Day four, Pittsburgh Steelers training camp, and as David likes to call it, Latrobe. David's driving back from Latrobe today. He was out there day four. He's got a long drive home, and we're going to fit in one of these little 15-minute mini podcast update what happened today. David, first of all, great job on Twitter today. You were pumping out the info, keeping up with all those big boys today.
Yeah, I had a couple things going on. A little quieter. Crowd wasn't as big as I expected today. First day in pads and a Saturday. We have had, you wouldn't believe the rainstorms we've had up here, generally right after practice ends. And I know I've driven home, and I mean, it was bad enough yesterday that lots of people had pulled off the highway and a lot of thunder and lightning. And I guess there was some thunder right at the end of practice today. I left about 20 minutes before it ended because I had to go do the radio show. But yeah, the weather might have kept the crowd down, but it was a spirited practice. The guys' first day in pads, and you know, as Tom Bradley and I said last night, these guys look like they're having fun out there. And it's, you know, the players, the coaches, everybody. First hour of practice today, pretty slow walkthroughs, then calisthenics, and then some positional drills. But they got after it in the second hour, and then of course the backs and backers drill, which we'll get into, and then some 11-on-11 stuff, which I didn't see as much of, but, you know, a couple scraps there, and some guys look better than others, let's put it that way.
Before we get into some of the stuff that you reported on today that you saw, and we're going to get into this more on the next podcast on Tuesday. Of course, they signed Antonio Brown to the five-year extension yesterday. That was a bit of a surprise to probably both of us, at least first. You know, I was not ruling out the possibility maybe it happened before the start of the regular season, but it certainly wasn't high on my plate. The thing is now, too, people are trying to write off Mike Wallace as gone and more specifically traded. And I think me and you have gone on the record now as saying that we don't think that's going to happen.
That would be more shocking to me than the Antonio Brown extension. I mean, Mike Wallace is a valuable part of this team. The Steelers recognize that. He is going to play six games for this team if he wants to get his season of accrual toward free agency. So that's kind of the worst-case scenario for the Steelers, is that he comes in week 10 or 11 and finishes the season. That means he's only going to get a prorated amount of his $2.74 million, which comes out to about, let's say, $800,000. So he's going to take a big financial hit to sit on his ass at home. I don't see the benefit of that, but I'm not Mike Wallace. And, we've both not called incorrect, but said the report that Mark Cavalli has out there that he turned down a five-year, $50 million deal seems almost insane. I mean, it's the kind of money that both you and I think that we would value Wallace. That's a fair value to Wallace. That's a fair value to the Steelers. You would think that if they were in the ballpark there, they'd get something done. So if that happened, I wouldn't want to be his agent today, I'll tell you that.
Absolutely, and I wrote about the threat of the franchise tag, not that the Steelers would use it, but the threat of it. I wrote in depth about today as well. But we'll get into that on Tuesday more in depth. We'll see what transpires over the weekend here with Mike Wallace. One of the first things you have up here, David, that really caught my eye is, the running backs and the fullbacks were working the sled to start off with. You noted that the two fullbacks, David Johnson and Will Johnson, moved it back as far as possible while the others were spinning off. Why don't you go into a little bit of detail?
Yeah, they were really pounding it. You know, you go into that drill, and if you're an offensive lineman, your goal is to move the sled. I mean, that's what you're there to do. You're there to push that defensive lineman backwards. The running back's job is obviously to gain yardage and be elusive. And so I think it's, you know, to simulate contact for these guys with the pads, put your shoulder into the sled, and then, you know, spin off it and go with his tight ends for just putting their shoulders into it and just running it as far back as they could. It was pretty entertaining stuff. And when Mike Tomlin got over there, it got jacked up a little more. DJ, David Johnson, and Will Johnson, and they definitely gave the thing a ride. You know, a ride of, 10 yards. I mean, they really pounded the thing.
Will Johnson, by reading between the lines on some other media tweets, he had a good day today, and we talked about him. That was one of the things that was the biggest concern for me in particular was how this guy takes to a move to the fullback position, how he actually handles the blocking end of things. He's great out of the backfield, his college tape, and his pass receiving and his route running and all like that. Did he kind of flash to you today?
Well, I think he's a big boy, and he stood out in the back-to-backers drill as being certainly capable of standing up to the linebackers coming at him. He's got the physical capability to do that. I just come back to what I've been saying on the radio. This whole fullback thing is the biggest mystery of camp to me, just because, and this is not a knock on David Johnson or Will Johnson, but you have two converted tight ends, or in Will Johnson's case, even a wide receiver at one point in his career, as your fullbacks. And there are fullbacks who are out there, and I just can't believe that they didn't see fit to either draft, sign an undrafted free agent, or sign a free agent, get a true fullback in camp to compete for the spot. So, when they ran the 11-on-11 drills, the ones that I saw, they ran some offset eye with those guys as the offset guy, David Johnson in particular as the offset guy, but they ran a lot of single back in the backfield type sets as well. So, I'm interested in seeing. I'm not sold on the fact that either of those guys are going to have a prominent role in the offense. But, Will Johnson, I think he's looked good in the limited time I've seen him. Both the guys can catch the ball, and they still, in a lot of the drills that they're doing, the early work and the walk-through stuff and the jog-through stuff, they're running screens and swing passes. Those are the only plays in the playbook right now.
Yeah, and that's good to hear. One thing that we've talked about is getting the ball out of Ben's hands and checked down to the backs more this year. I think that's obvious. We're going to see more of that this year. The big thing that was today, David, with putting the pads on, that everybody kind of looks forward to every training camp, is the backs on backers is the backs on backers drill. And the good thing about me and you when we talk all the time on the show, David, is we don't see eye to eye on certain instances. When it might come down to an in particular player, but according to the media reports today, I'm gonna have you take us through the backs on backers drill. But one person in particular didn't have a good day, did he?
No, Baron Batch really had a tough one. And, what's most interesting about this is that this might not be newsworthy, except for the fact that's how Baron Batch made his name in camp last year. He really took on the big boys. And it's not so much necessarily winning outright. It's putting your nose in and doing your job and at least trying to contain the guy. Today, first time up, completely whiffed on a guy. Got beat by Wes Saunders a couple times. Not Wes Saunders. He got beat by Stevenson Sylvester a couple times. He didn't look good. He just flat out didn't look good. Too bad. I think the rest of the group, and I was focused way more on the backs than the backers. I mean, I was really paying, you obviously see these guys engaged, but I was really paying my attention to the offensive side of the ball. I think Will Johnson did well. I thought all the tight ends, Tammy McCoy, Wes Saunders, they looked good. The big boys held up relatively well. What was interesting was to watch guys, both, on the defensive side, is to see what kind of move the backers would come with. They'd go with either a bull rush or whether they try to spin on a guy or do some different things. So you saw some different techniques from different guys. I think the linebackers, nobody stood out one way or the other. I don't think anybody got handled easily more than once or twice, and I don't think anybody dominated more than once or twice. You saw a lot of the younger guys go. You didn't see Woodley go as often. Obviously, Harrison's not practicing. So, Mike Tomlin was riding Larry Foote a little bit. And Tomlin was there. He was spirited. And Kirby Wilson got, and he said, I'll tell you who else looked good. I thought Jonathan Dwyer looked pretty good. I thought Isaac Redman looked very good. In fact, the first time, I don't think Isaac Redman took many, because the first time he did it, he just ate somebody up. And then finally, toward the end, Kirby Wilson says, "We got Red. Who you got? Because he's going to take anybody." And so they had Redman out there, and Redman had been going from the left side a couple times, and he wanted Woodley to go. So he made Redman move over to the right side. And then went at it, and I called it a draw. And that was kind of how they finished, pretty much how they finished that. So still a good stop. I didn't think anything more stood out. I expected to say, you know, that there were two or three guys who kind of eye poppers, but just good hard combat.
And getting to the point where I think, and Tunch said this on Steelers Live at 5 today as well, too. You know, Barron's coming off that ACL still, and I know he's almost a year removed, but, you know, there's a mental aspect to that still of trusting that knee. And this guy has shown last year that he could do the job. I think as he trusts that knee more, I think he's going to get better in that drill. I think the trust factor is not there with him just yet. And you know, give him some time is what I'm saying. Obviously, they didn't. Tomlin talked about, you know, not putting Chris Rainey out there today. In fact, Chris Rainey was in full pads today. I'm not sure if we've heard exactly why that was, but he held Rainey out. We had a great Tomlinism today as well, too, something to the effect of I'm not going to pull my boat with a Ferrari. And
hey, we got a catalog of this year, because that's definitely one of them. That's one of the best.
And the reason he points to that is one of and honestly, when you go back and look at Florida tape with Chris Rainey, he was not asked to stick in there a lot and pick up the blitz. And a big part of his game.
Nor should he be.
Right. Right, yeah. And
it's just not physically imposing. And look, you know, you got worth running the kid over. You just defeated the whole purpose of having him on your roster, because you're not going to ask him to do that in the games and don't get run over in practice.
Right, and one of the aspects of his game when he is able to do it effectively is the cut block, and that's the last thing Tomlin said today too. He doesn't want Rainey out there cut blocking his linebackers, and you know, in a drill. So that makes perfectly good sense there. But what did you see as far as cutting abilities and some of the stuff with the backs catching the balls out of the backfield?
None of it was live. So they're running preset patterns, and as many people have seen when you see training camp highlights, you catch the ball and you run 50 yards. So you just do stuff like that. But it was interesting yesterday watching them do some cone drills. Some good footwork, some good cutting. I mean, everything they say about Antonio Brown is right. I mean, the guy's first in line for the drills. He is working hard. He's working on his technique. He's paying attention all the time. You know why they said what they said in that press conference, which you have up on the site. It's because they just believe in this young man, and they think he's talented. They think he really has his head on straight. And, you know, that's a big reason they went with this extension. So, when you talk about who looked good to me, you know, it's hard to – maybe it's not a surprise that a guy who's in the Pro Bowl looked good to you, but Antonio Brown looked great. I didn't see a lot, as they said, of the 7-on-7 stuff, so they didn't throw the ball much, but I heard Tony Clemens dropped a few passes. And, you know, of the other receivers, haven't seen a whole lot yet. What was interesting is they did do kick returns today, first time we've seen that. They set things up. The first three guys, if I'm working from the goal line, the return man was Chris Rainey. And then they have the offset return man about 5 yards further up. And that was, and I think this is a little bit telling, that was John Dwyer. And then the guy in front of him was Cam Hayward. That was the role Ziggy played last year. And then when they switched into the second group of guys, Baron Batch went Marquise Bayes went as the deep man. Baron Batch went in John Clay's spot. And Ziggy took over for Cam Hayward. So, a similar formation that they generally used last year. We didn't see Manny Sanders back there. I don't know that we need to read anything into that, but that's who they went with on the kick return stuff.
One thing, when they got into 11 on 11, the first snap, Willie Colon goes to double team. First of all, he helps Marquise Pouncey with the double team on Steve McClendon. He feels that Pouncey has his man under control. Let's loose and is off to the second level, and he puts his helmet right into the chest of Timmons. And of course, I didn't see the play. I'm going by what Mike Prisuta, who you had on your show this afternoon, said. Basically, drove him into the ground and gave him a little bit of business. And things got evidently a little heated after that. And
it was fully heated. I mean, there was a lot of screaming and yelling, and there were 12 guys in the pile. Now, nobody was throwing, but They were on the ground scrapping and wrestling. And I was just leaving. I was on my way to the top of the hill to watch a couple plays and then get out of there. And it was highly entertaining. And, of course, the fans loved that. And I loved Timmons' line when he was asked by Ken Laird what Cologne's problem was. And he said, life.
Yeah, and that actually might have been Tomlin that said that, because Tomlin said it in the press conference today too. He kind of just said, you know, that's, I like Willie Cologne. He's a good player, and I think that's where the life comment came from.
Yeah, no, I think Lawrence said life, but I think Mike said he liked the fire and Willie wants to get out. Played one game in 2 years, and I'm sure there's a desire to show everybody he means business. So he wants to establish himself on that line. Everybody's kind of handed him the job, but I'm sure he feels he's got to earn it. And then, you know, hey, might as well go get in the inside linebacker's grill right in the first place. So that was good. Manny Sanders and Ryan Clark got in it a little bit. I didn't see that one. But, yeah, a lot of running plays called by Todd Haley. As I said, most of the formations were single-back formations. Didn't throw the ball a lot, but I think what they want to do there that first day is have your offensive linemen firing off the ball. Get them in there, get them engaged, let them do what they like to do. So I think that's probably the concept behind that. overall, a spirited practice again. I think all 3 days have been good. They'll go tomorrow, and then they get a day off, so I'm sure they'll look forward to that. And then go at things until, I guess the first game is the 9th, so their next day, they'll go for a week. And then they'll be off.
David, I lost you there. David, do I have you back?
You do. Sorry about that.
Yeah, you kind of left us off there about after the week off after Monday's day off, working up towards the first preseason game.
Yeah, they get a full week ahead of them. They'll have 6 practices. They'll have the following Monday off. They'll have Tuesday, and then they'll be off Wednesday, and they'll travel to Philadelphia, and they'll, of course, play Thursday. So Mike Tomlin's going to look at next week as a big week. You know, he's going to have 6 full days to go with these guys. They're going to get a lot of work done. Then, the next week's going to be a little uncomfortable for him because he's going to only have Tuesday to practice. You know, they're not going to game plan for the Eagles, and they'll have plenty of time leading up. But he won't practice Monday. They won't really practice Wednesday. They'll have the game Thursday. Of course, they'll be off Friday, and then they'll get back at things. And they'll have another good stretch where they go Friday. Pretty much, I think, they'll have one more day off, I think, on the following Monday, but they, up until they play Indianapolis on that Sunday night game. So a lot of stuff to look forward to. These guys, you know, I'm sure they're looking forward to Monday's day off, and then they get through that next week. And then for the rest of, the rest of their time, they're going to be playing football and preparing for games. So, they get through these 3 days, the 6 next week, and then, then everybody gets to see them as they put on the game jerseys and get at things.
I'm kind of wrapping up here with you. We haven't talked too much about it, about the defense there. Yeah, anything you notice in any of the cornerback battles today, or anybody else on defense kind of sticking out to you whatsoever?
I thought the kid Terrence Fredericks did some nice stuff. The defensive back out of A&M, 7th round pick. I thought he's done a couple things that were good. I think I tweeted yesterday that Adrian Robinson made a move off the edge. That was really good stuff on one of the shell moves that they were doing. Excuse me, one of the shell drills they were doing yesterday. So I have spent more time watching the line and the offense than I have watching the defense, because I think we generally know where things are right now in the defense. But I would say they've been running the corners with Keenan and Ike taking the first reps and Cortez and Curtis taking the second reps. And, everything else, I think, has gone relatively smoothly. The defense has definitely done a lot of teaching and technique work. And it doesn't, the DBs are doing, wide receiver type drills on catching balls and stuff like that. But it's been less engaging than what the offense has been doing. But now that the pads are on and they're going to be doing stuff together, we'll take a closer look at what they're up to.
David, one question came in specifically for you to ask during this wrap-up podcast night. This comes from us from Rick Vincent. Rick's in Columbus. He wants to know, please reiterate what is allowed and not allowed to be communicated regarding Steelers camp. And he also says, has anyone been noticed doing extra work/drills? And if so, please elaborate.
Okay, well, I'm giggling because I got reprimanded three times today. And this was all, you know, nothing serious. But yesterday I took a picture as I was leaving from the top of the hill of just the Steelers, you know, out on the field. I lined up in the shell. And so I learned that I'm not allowed to take pictures anywhere from any elevation because it's showing formation. And today, when I sent out the Max Starks picture, Mike Adams picture, even though he was just standing in a huddle, I can't show anything when they're doing drills. And then I walked in the wrong place one time. So I got the trifecta going today. But the answer is I am not allowed to tweet pictures anymore. Not just me, but nobody is allowed to tweet pictures that show formation or actual drill work. So, unfortunately, some of the stuff that I sent out, I thought was pretty good, but they're clearly paying attention to my Twitter account, and so I can't shoot that stuff out. And in terms of me talking about stuff, I'm there, so I'm allowed to talk about it. I think when practice is going on and it's closed to the public, I'm not allowed to tweet during practice. But while if it's open to the public, I can tweet anything I want.
And what about anybody, you notice anybody doing any extra work slash drills on the side?
And unfortunately, I can't answer that because I've been doing extra work on the side and been running out as soon as practice is done to get to shows. On day one, on Thursday, we had a fierce thunderstorm come in, and so everybody got off the field. Yesterday, I had to go do a show, and they had rain again, and today they actually stopped practice about 5 minutes early because of a thunderbolt. So I'm guessing it hasn't happened, not that guys might not want to, but really the weather conditions haven't permitted it.
What's your schedule like? Where are you going to be on the airwaves the next couple of days so people can listen
to you? I'll be noon tomorrow, I think, with Dale Lawley at Buffalo Wild Wings in Westmoreland Mall, noon to 2. And then I'll be on Steelers Nation Radio again on Monday from 2 to 4 all of next week. I've got Monday night off, and then I'll have shows the rest of the week, and I'll keep you posted on Tuesday on the Terrible Podcast with those times and locations.
And you can follow David on Twitter. David, I bet you picked up a ton of followers today. Well over.
I've been wondering where all those people have been all the time. But yeah, we got 100 or maybe 100. I'm still about 500-700 behind the Pirates account. So Steelers fans got to get after it. But yeah, that was. I appreciate all the new followers. Thanks for joining aboard.
And David and I will talk to you. I'm not going to bother David probably unless he tells me to the next couple practice. I'm going to try to get a few other folks on over the next couple days. But follow David on Twitter and all your info or whatnot. If you want recaps, you can, of course, go to SteelersDepot.com. Follow me on at SteelersDepot.com or at SteelersDepot on Twitter as well, too. David, appreciate the time. And as always, I'll be in touch for you and touch with you. And as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.